Obviously, there are a lot of people in a lot of areas that are serving in very difficult circumstances, especially during this particular time. They referred to it as a pandemic that has taken over almost the entire world in regard to the virus that is causing so many problems with so many people throughout the world. I'm thankful that, as far as I know of, there is no indication of anyone in at least Franklin County that has been infected. But there are some in neighboring counties, and a lot of precautions are being taken, and we have taken some precautions here in regard to trying to prevent the spread of this virus. As you observed in the Lord's Supper, it's a little different than normal, but we still took the bread and the fruit of the vine in memory of Christ. We're trying to serve in the way that the Lord would have us to serve. That's what we're all about, service. That's what we're going to talk about in our study this morning. I want to read several verses from Romans chapter 6. We began reading at verse 12, and we'll read through verse 23. Paul said, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servant of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in these things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul makes it abundantly clear in this particular passage that as children of God, we are indeed servants. No longer servants of sin, but servants of righteousness. And so as we think about this idea of service, I want to first of all define what we're talking about. Service, according to Webster Dictionary, is work or action performed by one who serves. One who serves. If you look up this particular word in Vine's Expository Dictionary, it is the word doulos. It is an adjective that signifies in bondage. As we read there in verse 19 of our text, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness." The word servant as translated there is the idea of bondage, literally servitude. It frequently indicates subjection, however, without the idea of bondage. And so this is a voluntary subjection. Paul here uses the word yield in verse 16. "Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey." Yield. This is just a voluntary service. We are indeed servants of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24, Paul said, "To serve the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, able to teach." patient. Servant of the Lord, that's who we are. And so our service must be pleasing to Him above all else. We're doing our best to please the Lord. There is indeed a very dire and great need for servants of the Lord. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, our Lord said, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." In John chapter 4, there he said to his disciples, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." Fields are white already unto harvest. We have servants in the various medical fields that are doing their best to contain an enemy. Today, we are doing our best with God's help to contain an enemy. That enemy is the devil. We can yield ourselves servants of God, or we can yield ourselves servants of the devil. As servants of God, we're doing our best to defeat our enemy and to rescue as many as is possible from the clutches of the devil, the enemy. So that's what we're all about, service. As we think about this idea of service, I want you to think first of all about the spirit of service. As we noted earlier, this is a voluntary service. Many in this fight that is ongoing in the realm of the illness that's gripping this country, many have volunteered their service. They have not been conscripted. They have not been forced. Obviously, there are some in our armed forces that have been conscripted and are serving. But even their service, in most instances, was a voluntary service. They yielded themselves the service of their country. And many are yielding a voluntary service from the medical standpoint. Today, we're voluntary servants of the Lord. You can remember Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, there at verse 24. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season." Moses made a choice. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. The apostles in Matthew chapter 4, there verse 19, when Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," they immediately left their nets and followed him. Immediately. They left their livelihood, their means of making a living, and followed the Lord. They willingly gave themselves in service to him. As you think about this word yield, it comes from a Greek word which means to set or place alongside. And that's the way it's used here in our text in Romans chapter 6. To set or place oneself alongside of. There are many that are placing themselves alongside of in others in this battle against this deadly disease. Yes, they're taking as much precaution as they possibly can to shield themselves from the disease. And so should we. Paul talks about the armor of God to the Ephesians. We're to put on the armor of God. Above all, taking the shield of faith. I went to take my tax information down to the tax person yesterday or the day before, whichever it was. And when I went up to the door, there was a sign on the door. One customer in at the time. So I waited until the person before me came out. I went in. And they had a plastic shield in the window where the secretary was. And that, of course, is in an effort to do what they can to prevent the spread of this disease. That's what we're all about. We're doing what we can to prevent the spread of this disease. The word yield, or the word present. Present yourself to set or place alongside. Literally, to place near or to set before. In Romans chapter 12, there in verse 1, Therefore, said, we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Present ourselves as a living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. We're made over. We're made new creatures by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that perfect will of God. We present ourselves before God. This service that we're talking about is to be a cheerful service, not something that we feel like we're forced to do. David said in Psalms 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. Not we that made us, not made ourselves. We are God's people, the sheep of his pasture. In his courts with thanksgiving. In this gate of thanksgiving, his courts with praise. The idea of thankfulness has the privilege that we have. Not, yes, it is a responsibility, but it is a privilege to serve. A cheerful service. Psalm 122 and verse 1, David said, I was glad when they said, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. There are many in this state, as well as the whole United States, that are not assembling together on the Lord's Day for worship. Some are making an effort to do a virtual assembly through the means of the technology we have available to us. And that's a choice they've made in order to do what they can to worship the Lord. Whatever we do in our service to the Lord, it is to be done with gladness, a cheerful service. Something that we do because we want to do that, not because we feel like we're forced to do that. Serve the Lord with gladness. I was glad when they said, come, let's go into the house of the Lord. That's the spirit of our service. Now think about the motive. The motive for service, I believe, can be summed up in one word, and that is love. In fact, I believe love is the motive for whatever we do, everything we do in our service to the God of heaven. Paul would phrase it this way, 1 Corinthians 13 to verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Whatever I do is worth nothing if it's not done out of love. Love is the basis for serving one another, Paul will say in Galatians 5, verse 13. He said, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. I suppose that at least most of all of the work that is being done in the effort to curtail the effects of this deadly virus is done out of love and care and concern for human beings. A lot of people are risking their lives. Doctors have become ill in their efforts to help someone else. Certainly we don't want sin to overtake us in our efforts to serve other people. But the scripture teaches us we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We can't escape the world. Sin is all around us. And as we're trying to do our best to serve other people, we're doing this out of a spirit of love, but not only love for their soul, but love for our own soul. We want to do what we can to save ourselves. If we love God, we are going to serve Him first and foremost. John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Whatever the Lord has required of me, if I love Him, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it to the very best of my ability, whatever that may be. And to continue in John chapter 14, you read on verses 21 through 23, you see the same thing there, this idea of the attribute of love, serving Him because of our love for Him. We can't say we love God and not serve Him. You remember in Isaiah the 53rd chapter, when the Ethiopian was reading there, and Philip went down to preach to him. You remember, he began the same scripture preached unto him, Jesus. Now notice verse 4 and verse 5. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Why did Jesus endure all that? Paul said because of his love. In Romans chapter 5, there verse 8 and 9. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John chapter 3, verse 16, we sometimes refer to as the golden text of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And as John in his epistle writes about this, he talks about the fact that Jesus did this because of his love. In Mark 10 and verse 45, there, as you read Mark's account, he said, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The reason Jesus came was to serve. And so we can't love God without loving our fellow man. We can't even love God and hate our brothers. 1 John chapter 4, there, verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? How can I say I love God and turn my back on my brother when he's in need of my help? Or for that matter, any person who's in need of my help and I just simply turn my back, how can I say that I love God? Well, John says you can't. And as you remember, one of the primary ways that we serve our Lord is by serving our fellow man. You remember Matthew chapter 25 when Jesus depicts the judgment scene there. And he says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you gave me something to wear. Sick and bread you visited me. And they said, well, Lord, when did we see you like this? Listen to verse 40 and 45. And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then as he continues on and talks to those on the left hand, I was hungry, you gave me no food. Thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. Naked, you didn't give me any clothes. Sick and prison, you didn't visit me. Well, they said the same thing. Lord, when did we see you like this? Listen to verse 45. Matthew chapter 25, verse 45. Then shall he answer them, say, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it not unto me. Inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not unto me. So how do we serve the Lord? He's not here with us in a bodily presence. He's here with us in spirit. He made the statement, where two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If we're gathered by his authority, then he's here with us. But we can't wash his feet in the way that the woman did, and dry them with her hair. We can't anoint his body for a burial. We can't do physical things for him. So how do we serve him? By serving our fellow man. One of the primary ways, and yes, there are other ways we serve him. We're serving him here in this auditorium this morning by singing praise, honoring, glorifying his name, reading and studying his word, remembering his death and suffering. That's service. But we serve primarily by serving our fellow man. Do you understand that service is a measure, or maybe we should say the measure of greatness? Jesus himself talked about this in Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 to 28. But he shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or your servant. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. To be great, Jesus told the disciples they need to be a servant. In Mark's account, in Mark chapter 10, there in verse 42, Jesus called them to him and says unto them, you know that they which are counted to rule over you, rule over the Gentiles, exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. And now listen to verse 43. But so shall it not be among you. Whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. Whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister to give his life a ransom for many. It shall not be so among you. Greatness is not measured the same way among us, but it's measured among society. Greatness among God's people is measured by service. We are to humble ourselves to be exalted, Matthew 23, verse 10 through 12. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. He that shall humble himself, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. To be exalted, we have to be humble. Humility is part of our service. This service that we render is the measure of our greatness. Understand also that our faith is made alive or is proven by our service. I'll read to you from James, the second chapter. In James chapter 2, beginning there at verse 17, reading through verse 20. He said, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thy faith that I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? How do you demonstrate, how do you prove your faith? We're justified, James says, by works, not by faith only. By works, our faith is made complete. If we're not doing what the Lord would have us do, if we're not serving in whatever capacity we're capable of serving, our faith is incomplete. It's not perfect. We prove our faith by our service. Noah proved his faith by his obedience. Hebrews 11 verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. That word fear means reverence. Holding God in awe. What did he do? He prepared an ark to save him with his house. He proved his faith by building this big old boat. And people were poking fun at him. But for over 100 years, Noah continued to work on this boat. And for as we know from Scripture, it had not rained at all on the earth up to this point in time. It was watered by a mist that came up. God said, it's going to rain. It's going to come a flood. Noah proved his faith in God by building this ark. We noted in Hebrews 11, verse 24, Moses chose to serve God. This proved his faith, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Faith is proven by service. Now that brings us to the reward of faithful service. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, is a record of what we refer to as the parable of the sower. Or rather, parable of the talents. Luke 8, parable of the sower. In Matthew 25, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You remember the story? How he gave to his servants these talents. To one he gave five, to another he gave two, to another he gave one. The one had five talents, he came back and said, look, I've gained five other talents. That's when the master said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many. Likewise, the one that had two talents. You remember, as this account began, each one was given according to their ability. The talents here did not represent ability, but they represented opportunities to serve, to do something. Because the talents were given to each one according to their several abilities. And so it is with us today. We're given opportunities in accord with our ability. When we do what we can in relation to our ability, then we are rewarded. We're rewarded because of faithful service. There's a companion passage over in Mark, the 10th chapter. Mark chapter 10, began at verse 28. Read a couple of verses there. Mark 10, verse 28, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel, But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. Notice that phrase, with persecution. We're going to receive the things that we need in this life. And we're going to have an abundance of them. Even if we have to forsake physical relationships, we're going to have relationships in the family of God that far exceed that. But notice as he continues in that verse, and in the world to come, eternal life. There's the reward for faithful service. Some of it we're going to receive in the here and now. But the great reward that we have is in heaven, eternal life. The righteous are rewarded for service to brethren. We note in Matthew 25, verse 34 through 40. They were serving their fellow man, and in so doing, they were serving the Lord. And as a result, they were righteous. They were invited to inherit the kingdom prepared for them. Come, you blessed my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. Thirsty, you gave me drink. Naked, and clothed me. Sick, and breathed, you visited me. But the others, you're going to the devil as you found, prepared for the devil and his angel. The righteous were rewarded for service to their brethren. John chapter 14, there at verse 36, there the text says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. The one who sows and the one who reaps, both are working. Both are doing their part. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. When we do what we can for the Lord in service to him, we receive our just reward. But we must endure firm to the end. Matthew 24, verse 13. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And Revelation 2 and verse 10 phrases, be thou faithful unto death, and I give thee crown of life. Faithful service all of our life. That's what it's all about. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It's he that made us, and not we ourselves. We belong to him. As Christians, we belong to him by right of purchase. He purchased us with his blood. And so in that sense, we are in bondage. Literally, a bond servant. But we entered this relationship of our own free will. We freely gave ourselves to him, to be bound to him, to serve him all of our life in order to have the promised reward, service. Remember, there's a great need for service. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few, Jesus said in Luke 10 and verse 2. The harvest is great. There's a lot of people out there dying in sin. It's our responsibility to go do what we can to try to rescue those individuals from this dread disease of sin. It has eternal consequences. This disease that's going around now only has physical consequences. It can only take our physical lives. Can't take our spiritual lives. Only God can do that. We need to be busy doing what we can to rescue as many as we can. As we note in John 4, verse 34, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Don't put it off. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already, the harvest. I can remember when I was a child, looking out at the cotton fields, when they were white. It hurt my back to look at it. But we knew the time for harvest was there, because we could see it. We see people every day who are lost in sin. And I include myself in this. I say we. Because I guess I'm as guilty and maybe more guilty than anybody else. We see people all the time. And sometimes we let opportunity slip by. I'll continue my story about going to the tax preparer the other day. And I read the sign on the door. And as I was standing there at the counter, someone walked in the door. It was David Connolly. Most of you here know him. He preaches over liberty. We've had some studies with him. And I wished, after I had seen him, to have made a response that I didn't make. Because he didn't read the sign at all. just walked on in. And I asked him if he read the sign. Well, yeah, he said, God bless America on the door. I said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the big yellow sign. So he went back out and he read the sign. I wish I had said, what saith the law? How readest thou? That's what scripture says. That's what we're responsible to. The scriptures. How are we living up to the standard of God's word? Are we fulfilling our responsibilities to the word of God and doing what we can to save our neighbors and friends from this dread disease called sin? Above all, we want to save ourselves and them that hear us. That's what Paul said to Timothy. Do this. You'll save yourself and them that hear you. Continue in the doctrine. So we need to be aware of our responsibility to serve. The spirit of our service, we know it must be voluntary, it must be a willing and cheerful service. It must be motivated by our love for God and for our fellow man. It is our service that determines our greatness in the kingdom of God. We want to be great, we've got to be a servant. The only way we can prove our faith is by our service. That's the way we make our faith alive. And our reward is only for faithful service. To be a servant, you have to willingly submit yourself to Him. Yield yourself a servant of God on His terms. And then He will add you to His family, the church. You'll be His child, His servant, in His vineyard. Romans chapter 6, verses 13 through 16. Question is, have you yielded yourself a servant of Jesus Christ? If you haven't, you can today. You can become His child if you are willing to submit to His terms, just as He says forth in Scripture. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. 1 Peter 3, verse 21 says, the like figure, for unto even baptism doth also now save us. Not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Baptism is what puts us in contact with the blood of Christ. Romans 6, 3 and 4. If you've not been baptized for the remission of your sins, you can do that today. If you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you're willing to repent of your sin and confess your faith publicly, then you can be immersed in water. The Lord will add you to His church, His family. You'll be His servant, and you can serve the rest of your life and have the promised reward. If you have been obedient to the gospel, you become a servant in the path, and you, at some point in time, have failed in your service. You can return to Him, repenting of your sin, asking His forgiveness. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come if we stand in sing for encouragement.